You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we've returned here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. It is Friday, June 18th, and we have a lot to get into today. I wanted to discuss mainly the three segments today. They're just going to be about the mandatory minicamp that Baltimore held on Tuesday and Wednesday. We haven't really had a chance this week to dive into what happened, what players said, what coaches said, what actually happened, and observations that team writers from Baltimore took away. So we're going to get into all of that today. In the first segment, I'll just go over a few things that some players and coaches said, and by coaches, I mean just John Harbaugh. He was the only coach that spoke, but players like Lamar Jackson, Marlon Humphrey, and more. In the second segment, I'll get into five takeaways from BaltimoreRavens.com from day one of minicamp, and then in the third segment, we'll do five takeaways from day two of mandatory minicamp. So let's just dive right in here, but before you do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there is a podcast. We are there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we're going to dive right into it here, and let's start off with some things that players and coaches had to say to the Baltimore media during the 2 days of mandatory minicamp, Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll start off here with some stuff from John Harbaugh. Now, he had some injury updates. Rashad Bateman, after practicing on the first day, didn't practice during the second day with a stomach virus. I've seen a lot of people go kind of up in arms about that and say, oh my god, this is the end of the world, he's injury prone, he missed some of rookie minicamp, and he missed some of the voluntary OTAs, and you know, now he's missing some of the mandatory minicamp. Now, all this different stuff, these different muscle ailments and stomach viruses, they're not going to be long-term concerns, they're just being cautious. If Rashad Bateman went out there and practiced with a sickness, I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't be at 100% doing his thing. So that Derek Wolfe was fighting a bout of pneumonia. I think he was just getting over that, and so he was on the field not actually practicing. I know Jalen Ferguson wasn't out there. He was dealing with a personal matter for one of the days. So just a few injury updates from Harbaugh, but John Harbaugh also ended up saying that he is not too worried about the Ravens' tight end situation right now. He actually singled out undrafted rookie free agent tight end Tony Poyon out of the University of Virginia. And that's big praise from John Harbaugh. He's excited to see the guys get into pads. But yeah, I wouldn't be too worried either if I was John Harbaugh. They have plenty of talent there. Obviously, Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle, but Josh Oliver, Jacob Breland, Eli Wolf, they have a bunch of guys there who are able to go out there and compete. But another thing I did want to touch on briefly is I did say yesterday, and I wrote a story on it, the Ravens, reportedly, Jameson Ensley put out a tweet that said that the media was no longer allowed to film Lamar Jackson. Well, that is actually not true. There have been no policy changes. This is from a team source. And the only way that media is not allowed to film Lamar Jackson is if it is two or more quarterbacks throwing during certain drills or it gives away route concepts. That's always been a thing. A lot of teams don't want their stuff given out. And so it's not that the media can't film Lamar Jackson throwing at all. That's it was a misunderstanding between Hensley and what he was putting out there. I don't think he meant it the way it came out. His tweet got a ton of traction. So I just wanted to clarify that and clear up any misunderstandings that could have happened there, because Hensley tweeted out, you know, this is something that the media isn't allowed to do, but again, I don't think he meant it that way, whereas with the Ravens did say that, yeah, you're just not allowed to do it during certain instances. There's been no policy change or anything like that. Something that Lamar Jackson said, which I found interesting, is that the Ravens quarterbacks and wide receivers have actually been making the deep ball an emphasis for the 2021 season, and I think this is a big part of what the Ravens should do in 2021. We all know how potent the Ravens running game is. You know, they are a run first team that isn't going to change in 2021. I've said that time and time again, but what you have now is almost an opportunity to stretch defenses out. And as I've said tons and tons of times on the show, the run game feeds off of the pass game and the pass game feeds off of the run game. And what you do to a defense when you stretch out a defense by running a guy deep or running two guys deep and be able to consistently hit those throws. It's one thing to send guys deep and not hit the throws consistently. Maybe you'll get one completion deep for 32 yards or something, but teams aren't going to respect it as much. They're going to put the guys back, but they're not going to be as concerned with it. But in terms of actually hitting on those throws, we know that Lamar Jackson has deceptive arm strength. We know that Lamar Jackson has great touch. And even on the balls that he throws deep, they are really, really well placed for the most part. There are some, and we've seen some, that have been not good throws, not accurate throws. Lamar Jackson is definitely not perfect, and he needs to improve in that regard. But the Ravens now have the deep threats to spread a defense out to help the run game so that teams have to put guys back and not be able to stack the box as much, which helps the run game. And then when the Ravens run the ball effectively, they have to bring guys back up, and then you can run the guys deep because guys will be in the box more often. So with Marquise Brown and Sammy Watkins and Devin Duvernay and some other guys too, it will be interesting to see how the Ravens utilize their deep passing offense in 2021. Calais Campbell actually went into detail about how he was feeling after his bout with COVID during the 2020 season, saying that he feels good, but he definitely felt the after effects. And he's not the first athlete to say he struggled with the coronavirus after the fact, after he had had it. Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns, Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics have said the same thing. So this is something that has actually been said before by multiple athletes. For Campbell, he was actually considering opting out of the 2020 season due to his asthma and ended up wanting to play alongside his teammates, wanted to help Baltimore in a Super Bowl. He ended up getting injured in that Indianapolis Colts game, then obviously catching the virus. And he said that he hopes he'll be able to get through this season without having any setbacks with it or having any stuff pop up from it. But it definitely sounds like it took a toll on him. And look, I'm wishing nothing but the best for Calais Campbell. I hope he can have a fully healthy 2021 season. His health is the most important part, you know, not about going out there and playing high-level football. From a football perspective, that's important, but from a life perspective, obviously, the health of Calais Campbell does come first. J.K. Dobbins said that having in-person offseason programs, I mean, for him, it's been a huge difference, and he explained why it's important just being able to gel with his teammates, get back in the building, and get that in-person work. Dobbins was a part of that 2020 rookie class that did not have rookie minicamp, did not have OTAs and all this different stuff. A lot of it was virtual, and they didn't really get back in the building and meeting everyone until pretty late in the offseason process normally. And I think that it didn't stunt growth. I think that's not the way I want to put it, but it certainly had an impact on how some of the rookies in the 2020 class, not just in Baltimore, developed. I mean, we heard Patrick Queen talk about it a couple weeks ago or last week when he said that, you know, having the in-person workouts now is really helpful because he's able to get into football shape, and said that he came into camp last year out of shape and had to kind of work his way back into game shape. Well, now he's with the team, with his teammates, with the coaches, able to do what he wants and is able to be in the building as much as he wants. So for him, I think it'll be really good. And for Dobbins as well, all these other rookies, it'll be great to just be in person, meet the new teammates and get familiar with everything in person instead of doing it over Zoom or over whatever they were using. I think it was Zoom, but yeah, it is really, really good for that. The big part of minicamp, though, for the Ravens was Lamar Jackson's performance. During the first day, it seemed like the secondary really got the best of him, but during the second day, it was the Jackson show. Jonah Schaefer of the Baltimore Sun had his official count at 21 of 27. Rashad Bateman was able to make some plays happen. Sammy Watkins apparently has had a very good rapport with Jackson, and that connection is already very strong. Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson are doing Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson things. That connection is as strong as ever. So, I mean, heading into the 2021 season, just having Lamar Jackson on the same page with a lot of his pass catchers is going to be such an important thing, and you're going to see it, I think. You know, the preseason also is going to be big. Those three games, not four, but three games where Jackson will be able to gel with his teammates while he's on the football field and get some rapport with them there. So Lamar Jackson was shaking off the rust. I mean, that's something that I think is rather important in terms of just getting those mistakes out now instead of going into a huge game week one, week two, whatever, and having to shake that rust off in game, right? It's better to just get it out of the way. It seemed like Lamar Jackson has done that. There are going to be good days and bad days for Lamar Jackson. There are going to be good days and bad days for everybody. I saw a lot of overreactions, I feel like, with the first day of minicamp where it was reported that Jackson did not have his best day at all. So I'm glad to see that he recovered on Wednesday and was able to get that rust off. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be taking a look at five takeaways from the first day of OTAs from BaltimoreRavens.com. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be back soon. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can check all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our second segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostrecker, your host, still hanging out with you here. And we're now going to get into five observations from Ryan Mink of BaltimoreRavens.com, who was there for both days of minicamp, but this is from day one of minicamp. So we'll get into five here. One, veterans Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, Marcus Peters practiced for the first time this offseason now that it's mandatory minicamp. Derek Wolfe is the only healthy veteran who did not suit up because he's dealing with a recent bout of pneumonia. Cornerback Tavon Young returned to the field for the first time since last year's season-ending knee injury. So it's nice to hear that these guys are getting back on the field. We talked about Calais Campbell a bit in the first segment and Derek Wolfe a bit as well. But the big one there, Tavon Young, one of the best slot cornerbacks in the entire league, a very, very, very underrated player on this Ravens defense. And he's one of the glue guys. You know, there are multiple guys you could kind of nominate for the big glue guy award. Brandon Williams is one. I think LJ Ford is another. Tavon Young, I think, is another. Young is someone who plays that slot cornerback position at a high level, and that allows guys like Marlon Humphrey to stay at his natural position. It takes pressure off of linebackers and safeties, and his role overall is to lock down those guys in the slot, which he does a very, very good job of. You could kind of feel the air go out of the team when he gets injured in week two against Houston last year. Now he's back. He looks healthy. He looks really good. So I'm glad to see that as a development for this Ravens team. And his presence alone, I mean, when you have a secondary with Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith, Tavon Young, Sean Wade, and Anthony Averett is your six, is your top six, and then whoever else filters in there is maybe seven or eight. That's a good cornerback group. That's a crazy cornerback group, especially that top four with Young in there. So I'm excited to see what he can do on the football field. And speaking of the Ravens secondary, I'm going to read numbers 2 and 3 here together. So we'll count these as the second and third observations. The Ravens secondary won the day with multiple interceptions and several near picks. Anthony Averett and Peters picked off Lamar Jackson during 11-on-11 work. To be fair, one came when Rashad Bateman slipped and Jackson felt there was interference on the second. Averett nearly got a second one later in practice. Rookie defensive back Brandon Stevens intercepted Trace McSorley on a sailed pass over the middle, and cornerback Chris Westry came down with a deep shot by Tyler Huntley. Safety Chuck Clark and second-year cornerback Khalil Dorsey also came down with picks too. Dorsey particularly flashed during the practice. The second-year former undrafted product out of Northern Arizona saw action in 6 games last season and is pushing for a roster spot again this year. After practice, head coach John Harbaugh talked about the great competition among young cornerbacks. So yeah, as I kind of alluded to a bit in the first segment, it definitely seemed like the secondary got the better of the offense and the quarterbacks during the first day of mandatory minicamp. And look, the secondary is the strength of Baltimore's defense. And so Baltimore going up against that secondary, Baltimore's offense going up against that secondary, I mean, that is exactly what you want. If you're an offense, you want to go up against the best. Iron sharpens iron, right? Those types of sayings. And the Ravens, I've talked about the depth a lot here on the show. I mentioned like the 7-8 guys like Devonta Harris, and you have guys like Iman Marshall, all these different types of players who are going to be fighting. They're going to be fighting for a roster spot. Khalil Dorsey, another one of those players. And I think that he has a case to make the roster as well. Flashed on special teams and did some stuff before getting injured. So, I mean, there are going to be some tough decisions all around. We've talked about the wide receiver tough decisions, the tight end tough decisions, offensive line. But looking at the corners, I mean, even Chris Westry getting in on the action. The Ravens are like 10 deep, 11 deep at cornerback right now. When in reality, it's looking like is those top six that I mentioned. I think it's probably going to be them. And then that's it. Six corners. 5 safeties is my prediction for the secondary. So that leaves guys like Harris and Marshall and Westry and Dorsey off the team. But what they can do is make a name for themselves. They all deserve opportunities. I think they all deserve to be on NFL rosters. We'll see how the Ravens end up switching up what they do with their roster. Is it going to be major changes in terms of how many players they keep at certain positions? Or are they going to keep it kind of in line with what we've seen over recent years. I mean, obviously only time will tell with that, but I think it's important to understand that Baltimore's secondary is so deep right now, and people will say, you say this every single year, and what happens? As I've said on the show before, the Ravens start with 50 million cornerbacks, and they end the year with two, because injuries at the position just seem so common for this team. I mean, last year, we see Tavon Young go down. Jimmy Smith misses a bit of time. And Marlon Humphrey misses a game with COVID. Marcus Peters is hobbled for some of the year. Anthony Averett goes down after playing really well. Dorsey goes down after playing some special teams. So Baltimore is kind of shuffling in guys. They have to sign Devontae Harris off the street. They give Terrell Bonds, who's now with the Miami Dolphins, some action as well. I mean, Marcus Peters really toughed out his injury during the end of that Cleveland Browns game in Week 14. You could see he was clearly hurt, the Ravens holding him out of a couple games after that. But the team just dealt with so many injuries at the cornerback position, it seems like every year. So Baltimore right now, if they can get a couple of those guys on the practice squad for the, it seems like it's inevitable, and I hope it's not because I hope everybody stays healthy. But if there are injuries at that position, Baltimore should be able to sleep a little better at night knowing that they have the depth behind their stars to be able to hold the ship up if there are major guys who go down. And then I'm actually going to put the fourth and fifth observations together as well about Sammy Watkins. Veteran Sammy Watkins had the play of the day when he hauled in a corner fade in the end zone with his fingertips and toe tapped for the score. Making it even more impressive is that it came against Humphrey, who was all over him in coverage. With 33 career touchdowns, the veteran definitely has some red zone savvy. Watkins also caught a bomb from Jackson for what would have been a long touchdown, but Jackson's throw was the more impressive part of the play. He flicked it while stepping up in the pocket and still put it right on the money. And yeah, Watkins is someone who, again, I've talked about this before as well, it seems like wasn't a very popular signing at the time. Some people were ecstatic, and I noticed that, but for the most part it was, another veteran receiver coming in on a one-year deal or on a deal that is kind of team-friendly, but at the same time, is he going to be able to play all the games? Is he going to be able to make an impact? Is this a Michael Crabtree signing, or is this a Steve Smith Sr. signing? Honestly, it'll probably be in the middle. Steve Smith was someone who came in and provided a lot of great years in Baltimore. He was a true number one. Michael Crabtree kind of was a disappointment in Baltimore. Jeremy Maclin kind of in that same realm as well. But I do think that the Ravens got a good player in Sammy Watkins. They didn't sign him to an excessive amount of money. They were able to bring him in, believing in the culture already, believing in the offense already, believing in Lamar Jackson already. And to see their chemistry already building on the first day of mandatory minicamp, building throughout the voluntary OTAs, those are things that will help come Week 1 and Week 2 and honestly, throughout all the regular season games, because they get the work in now, they work out the kinks, they get familiar with each other, and now we're seeing it in action. And obviously, the most important action is going to be in the regular season, but right now, coming against Marlon Humphrey, those touchdown catches, and with Ryan Mink saying, his toe-tap touchdown came against Humphrey, it's the iron sharpens iron mentality. Marlon Humphrey is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. That is a fact. And Sammy Watkins, over the course of this 2021 season, will probably be going up against corners who are not as good as Marlon Humphrey. There'll be a few who are up in that upper tier of corners, but I think that with these receivers practicing against players like Humphrey and Marcus Peters and Jimmy Smith and Tavon Young, that will make them even better for the 2021 regular season, because the secondary will win some days because they're that talented. But Baltimore's receiving group is getting work every single day against some of the best cornerbacks, some of the best safeties in the entire league. And so that will help this team, I think, reach their full potential on the offensive side of the ball, especially in the passing game. And Watkins, I think, is going to be a big part of that. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we're going to be taking a look at five observations from day two of Mandatory Minicamp from BaltimoreRavens.com, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be back soon. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, almond, cherry, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And we've returned here with our final segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allstriker, your host, still hanging out with you here. And now we're going to get into five observations from day two of Mandatory Minicamp from Ryan Mink of BaltimoreRavens.com. So we'll start off with number one. Lamar Jackson had perhaps his best practice of the summer, especially early on. On the first play of 11-on-11 drills, Jackson dropped a gorgeous deep pass over Sammy Watkins' outside shoulder for a touchdown. Watkins and Marlon Humphrey were running shoulder to shoulder, but Watkins burst ahead at the last second to get enough separation and haul it in with his fingertips. Tough to say whether the throw or catch were prettier, but they were both as good as it gets. According to the Baltimore Sun's Jonas Schaefer's tabulations, Jackson was 21 for 27 in 11-on-11 action. Jackson did have one interception when a deep ball pass for Marquise Hollywood-Brown fluttered on him and was picked off by Humphrey. So again, this is great news. Obviously, as I talked about in the first segment, Lamar Jackson is shaking off the rust, having a phenomenal day, according to most people, on Wednesday. And 21 for 27 in a game is pretty good. You'll take that pretty much 10 out of 10 times. Now, he is human. Breaking news, Lamar Jackson is human. He threw an interception, and that happens. Lamar Jackson is not going to be perfect. No player in the NFL is going to be perfect. You know, no quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, no quarterback is going to be perfect. So, yes, Lamar Jackson will throw some interceptions. But again, it really seems like the Jackson-Watkins connection is really starting to form, which is great news, especially, is not just for those two, but for the rest of the receivers too. If those two were clicking, teams are going to have to force more attention onto Watkins, which will help others get open over the course of the regular season, because teams will have to respect that Watkins and Jackson have that connection, just like teams respect that Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews have a connection, and that Lamar Jackson and Marquise Brown have a connection. You know, if there are a bunch of players who Lamar Jackson is comfortable throwing the football to on the field, he's going to have his choice of a bunch of weapons. But speaking of Watkins, number two. Speaking of Watkins, it's clear that he's developing Jackson's trust. There are times when it doesn't look like there's a lot of separation, but Jackson gives the bigger-bodied wideout a chance. More often than not, Watkins has come down with it. It's still early, but if he stays healthy, Watkins could give the Ravens a downfield contested catch receiver they and fans have yearned for. And so these are the types of receivers that Baltimore needed. The Ravens had a lot of slot guys playing outside last year, and Watkins profiles as more of an outside receiver than guys like Marquise Brown and guys like Devin Duvernay and even Willie Snead, right? The Ravens were using some of those slot guys on the outside. I'm not saying they're not going to do it again this year, because I think they're going to. And Watkins has had his offensive efficiency drop from the outside over the past couple of seasons. But what you can use Sammy Watkins in is a bunch of different roles where he's able to do a lot of different things. And if you put him on the outside with Rashad Bateman and Marquise Brown in the slot, that is a killer three wide receiver set where you can do a lot of damage if you're the Ravens with a bunch of different looks, not just passing the football, with running the football as well. So the trust that Watkins is starting to gain from Jackson, even plays that Ryan Mink said here where there's not a lot of separation or it doesn't look that way, to have that trust in a receiver as a quarterback is, I think, probably one of the best feelings you can get, because you don't have to worry about, you know, is this guy going to make a mistake? Is this guy not going to know what he's doing? It already seems like Watkins has been established. He's established himself as a veteran option, and Lamar Jackson understands, he knows that, he gets that, he's been through his share of experiences at the NFL level, and I think that the more it develops, the better it will be for this Ravens team. The number three observation I'll talk about here, it's also fun watching new inside linebackers coach Rob Ryan working with his guys. The camaraderie and comedy has long been there, but even though he's been doing this for a very long time, Ryan has some new tricks up his sleeve. He introduced a new drill on Wednesday that he was pretty excited about. And the drill, if you haven't seen the video, is actually pretty wild to watch. It's this huge weight bag or tackling dummy, and it's on a device where it can go back and forth, and the linebackers are tasked with starting off on the side and then running up and trying to push it back as far as they can. And it looks like a heavy bag, so credit to all of them for being able to do that. But for the Ravens, and this is with a lot of their coaches too, it doesn't seem like it's all business there. And honestly, I think that's a really good thing. It's not like the players are like, you are my coach. I cannot talk to you about anything but football. We can have no fun together. That is not what this Ravens team is. They all, I think, really, really like each other. And Ryan is kind of adopting that. You know, he is good friends with Don Martindale. He has a plethora of experience at the NFL level. He's coaching up young linebackers too. Patrick Queen, Malik Harrison, Chris Board are some of those names. And having a veteran presence like LJ Fort in there helps as well. But it seems like Ryan's really getting along with his new players. It seems like the players really like what they're getting from Ryan. Patrick Queen had nothing but nice things to say about him. So I'm excited to see what this team can do and what these linebackers can do as well, because they're going to be so, I think, just so improved over the course of the 2021 season. The fourth takeaway I will talk about here was an active day for Josh Oliver, the 6'5" tight end and former third-round pick the Ravens got in a trade with Jacksonville in March. Oliver hauled in a lot of passes but did have one bounce off his mitts. The battle for the third tight end spot remains one of the best heading into training camp. And so this kind of relates back to what I was talking about in the first segment with what John Harbaugh said about the tight end group. And with Oliver, this trade, the trade back in March with Jacksonville, was one that got a ton of backlash, saying, oh, this is the move that's going to win the Ravens the Super Bowl, and all this different stuff, because at this point, the Ravens hadn't signed a receiver yet, and everybody was pretty fed up with it, it seems like. So, you know, Josh Oliver gets traded for in this, oh, this is the big receiver everybody's been waiting for. But Oliver actually has a lot of potential. Injuries have plagued him over the course of his few years in the NFL, but he seemingly is healthy now, ready to contribute, has a lot of athletic traits. As Mink mentions, he's 6'5". He's a beast in that regard. Can also do some stuff in the run game as well. But the Ravens missed that third tight end element. I expect them to use three tight ends quite a bit during the 2021 season, because with the loss of Hayden Hurst was honestly a loss of part of their offense. So bringing in a guy like Oliver or Tony Poyon, who Harbaugh singled out, or just another one of those guys to put on the field, has the defense bringing in heavier personnel, which can help in the play-action game a lot. So I'm excited to see how the tight end battle ends up shaking out. And finally, we'll end with the offensive line. There were still too many false starts for the offense. They have some new pieces up front and a new center in Bradley Bozeman, whose snaps are also under a microscope, and that will be something they stress cleaning up in training camp. And yeah, again, get it out now. Get the false starts out now, and while they're at it, get the illegal formations out now. You just get it all out, get the penalties out, because honestly, I understand it. Again, as I talked about yesterday, it's a new group, and with position, when you factor in positions, there will be five new players at different positions for the Ravens on the offensive line from the end-of-year offensive line combination, with Stanley and presumably Ben Cleveland and Bozeman and Zeitler and Villanueva. So that group is talented, but they're going to have to be able to learn to play alongside each other, and that takes some time. So I'm not overly surprised by this. Bradley Bozeman, his snaps will be under a microscope, and I'm sure they have been, because after what happened last season with the plethora of snapping issues that this team had, I mean, it just can't happen. Centers, their job is to snap the football and block, and if they can't do half of their job, it's rough to be a center in the NFL. So Matt Skura had those issues. Patrick McCarvey also had those issues. Bradley Bozeman, if he can snap the football to Lamar Jackson and not having Lamar Jackson look like Odell Beckham out there, I think it'll be great for this Ravens team and for Lamar Jackson to not have to worry about that and potentially worry about getting injured. But this, again, this isn't a surprise to me. The offensive line, I think, will be just fine. There could be some sloppy play during the first couple weeks of the regular season, but I think by the end of the year, people will be very pleased if the offensive line group can stay healthy. That's all that I have for you today. We're going to take a two-day break here on Locked On Ravens, but when we return on Monday, we're going to be taking a look at more Baltimore Ravens football as the 2021 season quickly approaches, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.